Welcome to the Stirring Hearts Podcast. My name is Lori Adams, and I'll be your host. I'm a wife, mom, and meemaw to four little angels. You know, in all the years that I've been in ministry, ministering to women has truly been my passion. The Lord has given me a heart to inspire, encourage, and impact women just like you. The Stirring Hearts Podcast is designed to stir up your heart into a deeper, more intimate relationship with Jesus. Jesus, the lover of your soul, not to stir your emotions, but to stir the Spirit of God that dwells inside you. And by doing so, we will learn to live out the greatest commandment given to us by Jesus, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. My prayer is that your hunger for Jesus will go stronger every time you listen to this podcast. So join me today, sisters, as we stir our hearts for personal revival. Well, hey, sweet sister, welcome to episode 21 of the Stirring Hearts Podcast. I'm so happy that you are joining me today. So if you're on social media, maybe you have seen these viral videos going around of people trying to skip. Yes, skip. Remember skipping as a kid? Well, these videos mainly show Gen Zs asking the older generation, which unfortunately I would fall into, to see if they could remember how to skip. They are actually quite comical. I'm struck by how many people can't remember how to skip, or their bodies just won't let them do it. I kind of think it's more the latter, because according to a study in 2019, skipping was found to put a greater pressure load on knees and joints. Ouch. Just the thought of that makes me cringe, especially after me just having knee replacement surgery. But you know what? I do remember skipping a lot as a kid. It's really a very freeing activity. Your whole body is in movement, legs jumping and arms flinging. Joy and happiness seem to be associated with skipping. They say it's because skipping releases dopamine in the body, which in turn makes us happy. It's true. We probably see more kids skipping than adults. And why is that? Well, some might think skipping looks silly for an adult to do. But truth be told, y'all, I'd love to be able to skip again. This now takes me to my spiritual comparison, which y'all know I love to do. Maybe there are some things that you don't do in your spiritual walk because you think you might look silly. Things like singing in church, raising your hands in worship, praying out loud in front of people, or even sharing the gospel with an unbeliever. Listen, we all do it and we're all guilty of it. We don't want to look silly. I think that's why Jesus tells us that we must come to him as little children. Children don't concern themselves with looking silly. They just don't. So today, sister, let's spiritually skip into our relationship with Jesus. And as we do, freedom and joy can be released into our daily lives. Okay, let's jump and skip into today's podcast. The title of today's podcast is When You're the One. In the Bible, sheep seem to be the go-to animal. Sheep 101. Sheep are mentioned more than 500 times in the Bible. We are compared to sheep in the Bible. Now, before we get into our main verses for today's episode, let's talk about sheep for a bit. Here are 9 characteristics of sheep that Julie Plagans lists in her blog that she wrote about sheep. Number 1, sheep have no sense of direction. Number 2, sheep are defenseless. Number 3, sheep can't get up without help. Number 4, sheep are emotional and recognize the shepherd's voice. Number 5, sheep are not meant to carry burdens. Number 6, sheep will settle for less. Number 7, sheep are vulnerable. Number 8, sheep cannot care for themselves when wounded. And finally, number 9, sheep are innocent. Now, I'm not sure if I want to be on that list to describe me. How about you? But truth be told, we are just like sheep in so many ways. We just don't like to admit that we are vulnerable and needy. We don't like to think that we are that bad. Okay, I'm sorry. I just could not resist. Listen, in all seriousness, we are so prone to wander and lose our sense of direction. We need to be protected from our enemy. We can't do things in our own strength. Oh my goodness, we live by our feelings in so many ways, and that is why we need a shepherd. We try so desperately to carry burdens that we are not designed to do so. We tend to settle for the things this world has to offer, for small and fleeting pleasures. When we are wounded or hurt, we truly cannot heal ourselves. Oh, we think we might be leaders, but in so many ways, we are just followers, just like the sheep are. Don't believe me? Well, let me give you an example. I watched a video not too long ago. It was deemed a social experiment. Everyone was in on it except one innocent person. This person walked into a doctor's office waiting room where the people were that were in on the experiment. They were sitting there. The person sat down, this innocent person sat down in a chair waiting to be called back. One at a time, the people in on the experiment began to stand up. They just stood there in front of their chairs. The innocent person had no idea what was happening. Oh, you could tell by the look on their face that they had no idea why these people were doing this. But as more and more stood up, the innocent person caved and stood up as well. I mean, crazy, right? They had no idea why they were even standing up. They just did it because everyone else was doing it. Talk about looking silly. That describes we as sheep in a nutshell. And we need a shepherd. And thank the Lord that we have one in Jesus, the greatest shepherd of all. All right, let's read our verses for today. They are found in the Gospel of Luke. Luke 15:1-7, Parable of the Lost Sheep. Tax collectors and other notorious sinners often came to listen to Jesus teach. This made the Pharisees and teachers of religious laws complain that he was associating with such sinful people, even eating with them. So Jesus told them this story. If a man has 100 sheep and one of them gets lost, what will he do? Won't he leave the 99 others in the wilderness and go to search for the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he will joyfully carry it home on his shoulders. When he arrives, he will call together his friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, because I have found my lost sheep." In the same way, there is more joy in heaven over one lost sinner who repents and returns to God than over 99 others who were righteous and haven't strayed away. So, if you have been in church for any length of time, you are familiar with this parable. There are songs written about it. We love the thought of the shepherd leaving the 99 to go after the one. It's so loving and endearing. Jesus has a few points that he wants to make to these Pharisees and teachers of the law that are complaining that tax collectors and other notorious sinners are coming to listen to his words and even eat with him. I mean, can you imagine that they are upset at this? How arrogant and self-righteous these Pharisees must have been. Jesus first wants to let them know how valuable this lost sinner is. That is so important to remember. So much so that he will leave the 99 to find the one who is lost. Matthew 19:10. This is Jesus speaking. He says, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save those who were lost." Jesus was constantly surrounded by the lost, and he made them feel that though they were lost sheep, he was their compassionate shepherd. Hence the reason people followed him. Matthew 9:36, when he, Jesus, saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were confused and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. And then he makes the point that not only will he joyfully carry the lost sheep home on his shoulders, he will call all his neighbors and friends to come and celebrate and rejoice with him that his one lost sheep has been found. He lets the Pharisees know in the same way heaven rejoices even more over that one lost sinner who repents and returns to God, even more so than the 99 who are righteous and haven't strayed away. So here's my question for you. If you're a true Christ follower and have come to true saving faith, have you ever really stopped to think that at some point, you were the one Jesus went looking for? You were the one who was lost. You were the one that Jesus left the 99 to go after. You were the one who needed to be found, to be carried home on the shoulders of Jesus. I pray that at some point you have had this realization. But there's more, because with Jesus, there's always more. Even though you were lost and have now been found, you're still a sheep. I know, you're welcome. But that's the truth. We are all still sheep and in need of a shepherd. That will never change until Jesus returns or calls us home. So let's unpack this even more. Because as I have said repeatedly, salvation is not won and done. Now please hear me. I am not saying we must be saved over and over again. But we must be led by our shepherd every single day of our lives. Once we are saved, the sanctification process begins. And at that point, we need the Savior and shepherd more than ever. In the Gospel of John, chapter 10, Jesus brings this truth home about him being the good shepherd. Here are just a few things that he says in verses 1 through 17. He says this, "I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep." He says, "Yes, I am the gate. Those who come through me will be saved. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd sacrifices his life for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own sheep and they know me. No one can take my life from me. I sacrifice it voluntarily." So what does a shepherd do practically? Well, a shepherd is committed to a flock and the one responsible for guiding the sheep, protecting the sheep, and attending to all their needs. You see, the way I see it, you and I are always the one. The one the shepherd not only goes after when we are lost, but comes after us every day. He's always there, leading and guiding, protecting us and attending to all our needs. And how does this happen? Well, at the time of salvation, the Holy Spirit comes to live inside each of us. He somehow individualizes and personalizes our relationship and fellowship with God the Father and God the Son, the Good Shepherd. And even though we are in the flock, we need leading and guiding every day. We absolutely need protection, and we always have needs that need attending to. And in some strange, mysterious way, as we follow the Good Shepherd in the midst of the flock, he makes us feel as if we are the only ones. Sister, even though you are a believer, you're still a sheep. You need a shepherd. This is a very basic truth. It's a truth you need to build your life on. And if for some reason you don't feel close to the shepherd, ask yourself why. Why do you maybe feel lost again? Maybe you feel there's no one watching out for you, protecting you, tending to your needs, caring for you if you are hurting or wounded. Well, what's the answer? The answer is to cry out to your good shepherd. He knows you and he knows your voice. For those of you that are moms out there, you know what you do when you hear the cries of your children. You go to them, you respond, and you know that they are yours. Studies have shown that mothers are especially attuned to the cries of their own children and can often identify their kids' cries from those of other children with 100% accuracy. That's amazing. Imagine how much more Jesus, your good shepherd, knows your cries. So don't only just cry out, turn back around and get close to the shepherd. And you do that by spending time in his word, in prayer, and in his presence every day. I had a conversation with a sweet sister a few weeks ago. She was calling to talk to me about what was going on in her life. Now, she is a believer, but she has had some things happen at work that has left her wondering how she has become a person that she no longer recognizes. She said she was acting in such a way that it was completely against her normal nature. She was deeply hurt by someone that she was very close to. And her main question to me was, Lori, how do I get back to the person I used to be? And of course, my answer could have gone down many paths, paths that would have made perfect sense. But that's not how I roll. If you know me and have ever come to me for any kind of counseling, you know that I have one basic answer and solution. I asked her, how is your devotional life? How much are you reading the Word of God and spending time with the Lord in prayer and worship and in His presence? And I love this sister so much because she was so honest with her answer. She said, it's not good at all. She said, oh, I still try to pray every now and then, but it feels so empty. I told her how much I appreciated her honesty, and I began to tell her what I say in practically every podcast. You must get back to spending time in the Word and in prayer and in the Lord's presence, just you and Him. I also told her that by her reaching out and admitting her need, I truly believed that the Lord was going to show up in her life in a mighty way. And of course, He did. I prayed and asked the Lord to lead me to a book that I could recommend to her to read. She immediately ordered the book and she got herself a brand new Bible. She has been so excited. And even after our conversation, she said she felt like she had more peace in her heart. Oh, not because of me, but because the good shepherd heard his sheep's cry for help. And he responded immediately. He went after her. He left the 99 to go get her and bring her back. And in some miraculous and mysterious way, the 99 don't even know he's gone. He's that good. Sister, maybe this story resonates with you. Maybe you need to do as this sweet sister did and cry out. The shepherd will hear your cry and come after you. Come to a place where you see how much you need leading and guiding, how much you do need protecting, and how the good shepherd will care for every need you have. Because you are the one the shepherd loves and always cares for. The Lord is far more than a shepherd. He is your shepherd. I want to end today's podcast by reading the most famous psalm in the Bible, Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, thank you for being all that we need. Thank you for Jesus, our good shepherd. Thank you for guiding us, protecting us, and tending to every need we have. I pray for this sweet sister listening today. Help her to rest in her good shepherd. Remind her that she's the one you not only go after once, but every single day. Give her a passion and a hunger to study your word and spend quiet, intimate time with you on a regular basis. Fill and flood her heart with love, joy, and peace. And may we all come to you humbly, like a child, knowing you will never turn us away. Be glorified in our lives and help us live like unashamed daughters of the Most High King. It's in Jesus' precious and powerful name we pray. Amen. Well, that's all for today. Thanks so much for being here. I pray the Holy Spirit has truly stirred your heart and the intimacy between you and Jesus has grown deeper. Be sure to follow and download the Stirring Hearts podcast so you never miss an episode. We drop a new episode every week. You can also leave a review, which helps this podcast reach more women. And make sure to connect with me on social media and my website. The links are located in the show notes. May the Lord bless you and stir your heart as you diligently seek and love Him. And remember, sister, you are never alone, and we are always better together.